You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
Change. Change is a constant reality for us, isn't it? Has anyone looked in the mirror lately and gone, I don't quite remember that grey hair being there? I feel like I
remember all mine.
You remember all yours? Is that fond memories of when you had them? Is that it? Yeah, right. I think I look in the mirror sometimes, I'm like, oh man, I'm getting old now, you know. Look at all these grey hairs cropping up everywhere. Or, you know, you watch a young child as they grow and develop, and you're just blown away as you remember them. You know, I'm sure Cam and Clee can remember when both of theirs were just a little newborn baby in their arms the first time they ever held them, and then all of a sudden they've changed. They've grown. One minute they are, or even we are, but a baby, and then a toddler, and then a tween, and a teen, and next a young adult, and the next minute we know we're getting old, they're getting old. Change is a constant reality for us, isn't it? An ancient Greek philosopher, probably one you mightn't have heard of before, called Heraclitus, he was most famous for this statement. He says this, he says, man cannot step into the same river twice. It's a pretty profound thought, isn't it? Man cannot step into the same river twice. An article I found online explains the implications of this beautifully. It says, as water flows, change occurs even if it is imperceptible to us. The riverbank slowly erodes. The molecules of the water advance, or if nothing else, a person is older the next time he steps into the river, even if it occurs only seconds later. In this statement, Heraclitus was simply pointing out that change is a constant for us. The advancements of modern science may tell us that a person's DNA code remains the same throughout his or her life, but we all know that we change physically, mentally, morally and spiritually over time. Isn't that so true? We change physically, mentally, morally and spiritually. Both, if we're going to be really honest with ourselves, both for good and sometimes for bad as well. You know, over time we change as humans, and so too does our society, again, for good and for bad. So many positive societal changes have come about over time. Think of things like the end of slavery. What a wonderful, positive change there. Obviously, there are still some people still in slavery today, so we need to be mindful of that. But broadly speaking, the destruction of a culture and society that allowed for people to be exploited simply for the colour of their skin or their class standing. So that's been a good thing. What about the advancement of women? Hasn't that been a wonderful thing? In years past, women were treated as pretty well a slave, a possession of their husbands or men in society. And isn't it great now that we live in a culture in Australia where women not only are given opportunity, but they have the same opportunities, everyone has the same opportunities in life. It's a brilliant thing. What about the rise of not-for-profit organisations that do incredible work all over the world, like World Vision Australia, who have invested themselves consistently over decades to seeing the most disadvantaged people in the world having their basic human needs met. We saw just before that internal displacement camp. Can you just imagine for a moment? Can you imagine if that was your home? Just imagine. Maybe some of us kind of look at it, at our living situations and go, oh man, I wish I had more space, or, you know, wish I had stone bench top instead of wood. When we get that kind of perspective, it all kind of puts it in place, doesn't it? But that's been a wonderful thing. Organisations committed to seeing people everywhere accessing clean drinking water, shelter, food, and, of course, education. So many really good things over time. And the flip side is also true. We don't have to think too hard to think of plenty of not so good changes over time, do we? Increasing hostilities between nations, horrific ongoing wars, hatred and vitriol towards others simply on the basis of their race, their gender, or their social standing. Sadly, today we live in a society that calls good evil and evil good. And if we took the time, I'm sure we could have a very long list of all the not-so-good changes that we're seeing in our world today. Change, whether it's good or bad, is a sure thing in society. Now, you're probably wondering by now, well, why are we thinking about change of all topics today? Why the focus on change? Well, it's for one simple reason. While change is a constant for us as human beings, our God is a God who never changes. As the writer of Hebrews declares in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. And, you know, this insight into God's character, his heart, who he is, what he's all about, if we grasp it, if we just get this and allow Holy Spirit to place this truth firmly and deep down within our souls, this very truth can serve as a sure anchor for us as we go through the storms of change in life. Change is a constant for us and will always be, at least in this life anyway. But we follow a God who never changes and never will. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how about we just take a moment to pray as we open God's word and reflect on our unchanging, immutable God. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Jesus, for the sure knowledge that you just do not change. Your heart doesn't change. Your plans, your purposes don't change. Nothing about your character or desires or hopes for us as human beings change. And so, Jesus, today as we reflect on your immutability, the very fact that you do not change, we pray, God, that this would stir our hearts, that this would encourage our hearts, and all the more, God, that this would help each of us to see that you are the sure anchor that can tether us firmly, no matter what change comes in our own personal lives or in the world around us. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak powerfully as I open my mouth, Lord, and may you be glorified and you alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a look at some scriptures. What scripture says about our God who never changes. In Malachi 3:6, God describes himself like this. He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." That's a good thing. God never changes and he never will. James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God never changes and he never will. And that passage that we read just earlier from Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes and never will. Theologians call this the fact that God doesn't change. It's a bit of a fancy word. They call it the immutability of God. And it's a term that people who study God, that's what a theologian is, someone who studies God, they use to describe how God does not change. And when they say that, they're talking about his nature, his mind, his will, and his plans for us and for the world. Now, this is going to be weird, but one way I remember what immutability means is by thinking about the Marvel Universe. Does anyone else do that? Maybe not. Maybe not. Anyone a Marvel Universe fan? A few of us, maybe? Yep. What's the Marvel Universe full of? Anyone want to? Yeah, people wearing their undies on the outside. who also happen to be mutants. That's right. And the Marvel Universe is full of mutants who can do a whole range of cool things, and some very special ones, like this fancy lady here by the name of Mystique, can actually shapeshift and physically change their appearances in just a moment. And if you've seen any of the movies, it's actually pretty creepy, because all of a sudden she's an attractive woman and then she's this disgusting-looking man or something. It's really quite a creepy thing. Anyway, Mystique, by her very nature, can mutate and change. She's a mutant, after all. That's what mutant means. But our God, the only one in existence who is immutable, cannot mutate or change at all. God never changes and he never will for any reason. By his very DNA, his very nature, he actually can't change, because he wouldn't be true to who he is. Louis Berkhof, he's a theologian. He wrote a very well-known theological book called Systematic Theology. I encourage you to read through that in a couple of years, if that's how long it would take. It's about this thick. It's a good book, though, so I hear. I've read parts of it. Defines immutability like this. He says, immutability is that perfection of God by which he is devoid of all change, not only in his being, but also in his perfections, purposes, and promises. R.C. Sproul, a U.S. pastor, explains immutability like this. He says, the Lord is immutable. It is impossible for his character or being to undergo any mutation. His power cannot be augmented or diminished. He never learns or forgets, and he cannot be, how good is this, anything other than perfectly holy. Now, again, you might be thinking, well, why are you drilling down on all of these things today? Immutability is a pretty cool word, and now I'm always going to think of the Marvel Universe whenever I hear it. But how is knowing God is immutable really relevant for me as I go about living my life and seeking to follow Jesus today and every day? Well, I want to suggest that the reality that the fact that God's immutability is great news for every single one of us. It's really good news. Why? Because as we live in an ever-changing world, we can actually count on and find security in our unchanging God. Now, what can we count on and find security in particular? I want to share two things with us, two things so we can remember them this morning. We can count on because of God's immutability. And the first is this: because God is immutable, we can be sure that God's promises never change. That wasn't much of a response. I mean, isn't that good news? Because God never changes, his promises will never change. This is really good news for us. I thought we might have got a bit more of a response from that. That's right, in awe, right, okay, I like that, that's good. Everyone's in awe, good. And, you know, this is good news for us today, but thinking back to Israel, this was certainly good news for the nation of Israel over the journey. Now, if we read Malachi 3:6 in context, what do we see? What we see is, we see God having dialogue with a people who are continually turning aside from him. A people who are continually choosing to go their own way, create their own paths, follow their own law, rather than follow his holy law that is best for them and best for us. Let's read it. Matthew 3:7-12 says, this is God saying, he says, from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. You know, this is as we saw a couple of years ago on our God story journey, this is actually a really familiar, well-worn path, isn't it? You know, ever since Adam and Eve chose to sin, go their own way, rebel against their maker, we see this cycle repeating over and over again. What happens? God blesses, people rejoice, then all of a sudden, people start shifting, going their own way, rebellion, and then sometimes, but not always, people come to a place where they recognize their foolishness and repent and say, God, I'm so sorry, please restore us, and then God does. But sadly, this is a cyclic reality in history, but also today for many of us as well, isn't it, if we're honest? This is God's story, and it's our story to some degree too. But what's all of this got to do with God's immutability? Well, in Malachi 3:6, God reassures a rebellious nation that his promises never change, that they're not conditional based on their behavior, that despite their rebellion, he will do what he said he will do. He says, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." See how that's kind of conditional? "On the basis that I do not change, therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed." God's reminding his rebellious failures. He's essentially saying, guys, you're off track. You guys are robbing me. You're way off track. Your hearts are hard. You are gone so far from my best for you. But rest assured, if you return to me, I will return to you. I don't change, and my promises to bless those who fear me never change. I will do what I said I will do. And, you know, if we fast forward to today, I'm sure you're with me in seeing this as really good news for us as well. All that God has promised to do, he either has done historically or will one day do. Yeah? If you think about all fulfillment things in Old Testament times, different prophecies that were fulfilled in Christ, different promises from long ago that will one day be realized when we're face to face with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth, ruling alongside him. Come on, guys. Are we awake today? Like, this is really good news. And all that God has promised to do, he either has done or will one day do, or is doing right now and will one day do. And this, friends, this is not wishful thinking. This is reality. This is what, when Scripture talks about hope, this is biblical hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's on the basis of who God is, it will come about. Amen. Yes. Yeah? Okay, we, you and I, we're beneficiaries of God's promises. Many of us here or listening, Scripture talks about how we've been grafted into Israel. We are beneficiaries of God's promises. How? Simply through faith in Jesus Christ. We were dead in our sins, but now we're alive in Christ. And why is that? Pretty simple, really, because our God never changes. Because our God is immutable, he doesn't change, and neither do his promises. He doesn't see us, and I for one am so grateful for this. He doesn't see us going our own way from time to time and look at us and say, oh well, that's it, I've given you more than enough chances, 70 times 7 and you've well and truly used all those up, you've blown it for good this time. No. He doesn't at all. God's heart to see us in intimate relationship with him doesn't change. God's heart to forgive and overlook sin and even cast it into the sea of forgetfulness doesn't change. His heart to forgive sinners and restore the humble in spirit doesn't change and never will. And we can, eagerly, with complete assurance, look forward to benefiting from plenty of other of God's promises too, such as this beautiful one from Revelation 21:4. He, that's God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Praise God, friends. Because God is immutable, we can be sure that God's promises never change. All right, that's the first. Here's the second. Because God is immutable, we can be sure that God's purposes never change. Who has ever been contacted by someone last minute to change plans? Yeah. Oh, you got a text like that? I'm so sorry, I have to break our plans. Are you free next weekend? Isn't it bad, especially when we discover that that person has changed plans because they got a better offer? That's even worse, isn't it? We've all been there, I'm sure. That ain't loving your neighbour, just putting it out there. You know, as human beings, we change our plans all the time, but God's purposes never change. The prophet Isaiah's words in Isaiah 14, verse 24, sort of sum this up beautifully. Isaiah says this about our God. He says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand." That's it, in short, isn't it, really? God says it will be, and so it will be. God makes plans, and they're gonna come about. For us on a personal level, for us as a local church community, and his plans for the entire world too. Let's just think about it for a minute. What are God's purposes for us? If we're here and we follow Jesus, or if you're seeking spiritual truth, if you're visiting today or online and you're checking out faith, what are God's purposes for you? What could you enjoy if you were to place your faith in Jesus? Well, really, one of the main purposes is for us to enjoy intimate relationship with God. That's one of God's highlights. He's like, "Hey guys, this is what I want with you, and this is going to be for my glory and for your good," like we were singing about this morning. Or as John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That's one of God's greatest purposes for us. He wants us to experience and take hold of all the spiritual blessings that are ours to enjoy in Christ. He wants to see us walking in step with Holy Spirit each and every day, growing more and more in his likeness right until we breathe our last in this life. That's God's purposes for us. What a joy that is. We are constantly changing. The world around us is constantly changing, but God's purposes for us never change. What about God's purposes for us together as Liberty Family Church? Plenty of things. We'll have time in our Connect groups this week to kind of look at some of these in more detail, perhaps, write our own lists. But, you know, I'd suggest God wants to see us continue to grow as a vibrant Christian community, as a community of faith, hope, and love, a safe place where everyone belongs, where worship is life, where people matter. He wants to see us together, joyfully laying down our lives to serve him. He wants to see us joining him in whatever ways we can, with whatever we've got, to join him in seeing Hillsville, the Yarra Valley, and beyond transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. right until the very end. This is his heart for us as Liberty Family Church. Each of us playing our part in his family, in the body, as Peter spoke about last week. We are constantly changing. The world around us is constantly changing, but God's purposes for his church never change. What about the world? What is God's heart for the world? I think it's pretty simple, really. It's so simple that sometimes we forget, honestly. It's so simple that sometimes people of faith forget just how important this is, just how God's heart burns for this. This is what it is, that the whole world, every single woman, man, girl, boy, and those confused with genders may come to know him. That as John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," this is his heart, "that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Friends, this is the heart of God. These are his purposes. He doesn't change and he never will. He always has and always will have a heart to see all people everywhere. In Nigeria, in North Korea, in Badger Creek, in Glen Waverley, you know, or everywhere, all over the world, reach with the good news of the gospel so that they will have the opportunity to respond and bow the knee before Jesus as Lord and Savior in this life, because we know we don't get a chance in the next. This is God's purpose for the world. He wants to see every single human being in existence forgiven and freed through relationship with his son to live a full and abundant life, as he promised in John 10:10, in this life, but also then to graduate to glory in service, continued service of him in the new heavens and the new earth. Wow. We are constantly changing. The world around us is constantly changing. But God's purposes for the world, for all people everywhere, never, ever change. So this is obviously really good news. It's good news for us. It's good news for all the world. We can, hear me today, we can, every single one of us, wherever we're at in life, whatever we're going through in life, we can count on our unchanging God in this ever-changing world. And we can count on the sure reality of his purposes. Bob Dylan, you might be familiar with that guy. He sang a song many years ago called "The Times They Are A-Changing." And it was a true observation back then. And it is a true observation today, and it will always be a true observation. In this life, one thing's for sure, change is constant. Things don't always stay the same. We don't always stay the same. Just look in the mirror. Or don't. Prefer not to, me too. And while this is true, while change is constant, while things don't always stay the same, while we don't always stay the same, we can take comfort in the immutability of our God. We can be reassured, we can be encouraged as we remember, as the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 46, that our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He's a pretty mighty God. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with who? He's with us. The God of Jacob is whose fortress? He's our fortress. I invite you this morning and in the days and weeks ahead, friends, to look to our unchanging, immutable God. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our very present help in all circumstances. He is with us. He is our fortress. So let's have a posture in the days, the weeks, the months ahead where we choose to be still in his presence. Choose to actually still ourselves in his presence and be encouraged as we behold him and enjoy him for who he actually is. Our good God, who never changes and is always in control. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, mighty God, we're just in awe of you. We're absolutely in awe of you. As we read passages even like that psalm just before and consider your power, your might, your hand over all creation, your sovereignty, just how, all-powerful and almighty you are, we're just blown away. We thank you, God, that because you are all of that and you also don't change, we can take great courage and be stirred to know, Lord, that your heart of love, your desire to show mercy, your passion to come alongside the brokenhearted and bind up the captives, Lord, that doesn't change. That is true for us today, just as it's been true yesterday and just as it will be true forevermore. You are a God of compassion. You are a God of great love. And so, God, this week, the days ahead, the weeks ahead, the months ahead, God, may we allow the wonder of your nature, the immutability of your very being to serve as a sure anchor deep down within our souls. Lord, that no matter the personal challenge we face, no matter what goes on in the world around us, God, that we would not be thrown, but that we would know that you are right there with us. God, that we would know that you are our refuge, you are our strength. And God, we just pray that you would help us too to have a humble posture before you, God, so that we would not just race off into the days and weeks ahead, just doing our own thing or pressing on, but Lord, we would have that beautiful posture of humility so that we can come and enter into your very presence and come and be still and actually know you. Know you as the immutable God. Know you as the God who is unlike any other created being. And God, we pray that as we get to know you all the more, that you would be glorified. You love it when your people come close to you. You love it when people who haven't yet placed their faith in you choose to place their faith in Jesus and his work on the cross, and then they're welcomed into your very presence, can come and build a relationship with you. So God, would you take us deeper in that this week, we pray. And we thank you that in our ever-changing world, we can be sure that you will never change. Your purposes will never change. Your plans will never change. You will be the same. You are you the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we rejoice in that. We give you all the honor and all the glory that's due your name because of that. And we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen.